Czech poet Renée Maria Rilke wrote, "Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the question now. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant stay into the answer." What a remarkable New Year's gift we get from Rilke. Live the question now. Perhaps you will then, gradually without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Rilke speaks to the very foundation of who we are as Unitarian Universalists. Our fourth principle, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, reminds us that truth and meaning are not easily available. We are covenanted to search, to live the question. It is amazing how few people know that. We know it. I mean, we've read it enough. It should be printed on our soul, sort of like the Lord's Prayer or the Shema or God Bless America. We know it. But there's a difference between knowing and knowing. And as part of the human species, we want answers, and we want them now. And if somebody doesn't supply those answers, we just make them up. And so I invite you this morning to consider the possibility that there is nothing to know except that there's nothing to know. The world is not necessarily just, and so we just keep on keeping on, even when things are as bad as they seem. Life would be so much simpler if there were absolutes, but there are so few. In truth, there is only one truth. Every decision, every judgment must be made with partial information and insufficient data. Nevertheless, we just go ahead and make the decision and get on with it. And we say to ourselves and each other, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I don't know yet. There is one thing I do know. I am highly suspicious of the motives of those who claim to have the truth. And so I come to you today to praise ambiguity. More than that, to suggest that ambiguity might be the certain, sure, absolute path to salvation. Some many years ago, I served as a hospital chaplain. I know of no other environment that so profoundly brings one face to face with ultimate questions than that of a metropolitan hospital, where the most ultimate of all questions is why. How often have I heard that why? How often have I asked that why? In 1996, when I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, the why came and slapped me right up on the head in a very personal way. That happened again in April 2004, when my formerly healthy husband was felled by a stroke. And again the day he could no longer live in that body that so profoundly betrayed him, and so he left it. And I guess I asked that why every day ever since. And it reminded me of the many whys as I sat with a young mother dying of cancer. Why? Why must she die? She was so young, so much life ahead of her. As I held a father weeping while the sheet was lifted over the face of his newborn. Why? Why didn't that baby live? As I counseled a rape victim, why? Why did this happen to her? It seems so unfair. That's what sends so many people to church or synagogue. And do they learn answers? Nope. What they learn is that the question is as old as antiquity. Job asked it, "Why me, Lord?" Jesus asked it, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, I've met some people who find solace in hearing it's God's will, but that's rare. And that type of easy answer is neither easy nor satisfying for most Unitarian Universalists. It's just not the way we experience God, if in fact we experience God at all. And so what is left for us is ambiguity, and often with it the loss of innocence, as we come to know there are no easy answers. And all we have are the tough questions. Lillian Smith wrote, "Faith and doubt, both are needed, not as antagonists, but working side by side to take us round the unknown curve." Faith and doubt, that's how we live. Most days, that's all we have. But is it really so bad, living in the ambiguity, knowing that we really don't know? Devout Christian theologian and philosopher Paul Tillich said, "Awareness of the ambiguity of one's highest achievement, as well as one's deepest failures, is a definite symptom of maturity." And devout atheist Sigmund Freud said it this way, "Neurosis is the inability to tolerate ambiguity." I invite you to consider that learning to live with and accept ambiguity is an infinitely moral position. Bill Moyer, in his study of evil, suggests evil begins with the absolute. The conviction that we or I am absolutely right, and those who do not believe as we believe are absolutely wrong, and therefore can be subjected to any manner of cruelty. We become dualized, polarized, the saved versus the unsaved. And so we steal from Native Americans, enslave Black Americans, imprison Japanese Americans, and who knows what we're doing in the Middle East. Moyer reminds us how much evil has been done in the name of the absolute. Absolute power in the search of an absolute truth, often in the name of an absolute God. How can we know what is absolutely right? How can anyone? And consider the price when someone thinks they do have the answers. Adolf Hitler has been called the most decisive man in history. He knew without a doubt how to perfect the race. He had the absolute truth. No ambiguity there. We can watch the behavior playing large right now as presidential contenders act out their own perfection, literally trashing one another. And they are mild compared to TV evangelists who have positive responses to every issue of the day. These responses backed up by the word. For me, the most liberal, politically correct response is no more valid or satisfying than the religious right response. And so all I can do in my flawed human inadequacy is simply say, I don't know the answer. Sometimes I'm not even sure of the question. There are no absolute answers, no absolute right, no absolute wrong. In fact, the belief that we can know all the answers can lead to incredible harm. Do I suggest that we refrain from making moral judgment? Of course not. As a religious community, as ethical thinking individuals, we must make moral judgment. Now, I just imagine, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I imagine if a group came around, put white sheets on and burned crosses on the lawn, we might view that with some considerable disfavor. Of course we judge moral evil. To set aside that responsibility, that ability to respond, is to become lifeless, spiritless. Failure to respond to evil may in fact be the ultimate evil. We've all known people who suffer profoundly, not for the evil they've done, but rather for the good they have not done. E. Craster wrote, "The centipede was happy quite until the toad in fun said, 'Pray, which leg goes after which?' and worked her mind to such a pitch she lay distracted in a ditch, considering how to run." There is real bravery, real nobility in action, even with uncertainty. To be human is to take risks, even though we do not and cannot have absolute certainty. Before we move, otherwise, we become like a centipede, immobilized, lying distracted in a ditch, wondering how, if, whether to run. We do run, knowing that our best judgment at the moment is only that, our best judgment at the moment, and we must be prepared to change our mind. There is no disease more life-threatening than hardening of the attitude. The world, writes Sheldon Kopp, is essentially arbitrary in its movement, predictable in only the least important ways, and the only reasonable response to why is why not. Contradictions in the self, Kopp continues, and ambiguities in the world must be obscured by the illusion that life is meaningful, understandable, and finally manageable. It is simply a truth of life that we live within the ambiguity of partial freedom, partial power, and partial knowledge. And so does everybody else. And yet, if we're to live our principles, we must stay at the table and keep asking the questions. We, above all people, know for sure that we don't know for sure. Does that mean that we you use are uniquely free of evil? Sadly, no. Bill Moyer suggests there is a continuum from a child pulling the wings from a butterfly to Auschwitz and Buchenwald. We all, every one of us, have the potential for evil. We are complex human beings. Few of us are all good or all bad. And while we may not build death camps or even pull butterflies' wings, we can be as unkind as anyone else with those whom we disagree. We can be dogmatic, opinionated. We can act as if we alone have the real truth. We can behave in patronizing, condescending ways, and we walk away rather than staying at the table and working it out. Oscar Hammerstein III wrote, "Too many people become certain about too many things too early in their lives, overeager to have everything settled in their minds. They lack both the wisdom and the courage to expose their hastily adopted ideas to healthy doubts. They cling with blind passion to their false certainties, and too often they are ready to kill or be killed for them. The person with a civilized mind is neither afraid nor ashamed to change it." That is real Unitarian Universalist wisdom. And in case you happen not to know it, Arthur Hammerstein is a Unitarian Universalist. You might wish, along with me, that there were definite right answers, but each new day brings new situations, new uncertainties with which we must cope. Each day is limited, with limited understanding and insufficient information. We make decisions just as though we know what we're doing. Answers? There really aren't any. Not answers we can depend upon. We come to know with Gilda Radner, dying with cancer, that life is about not knowing, having to change, taking the moment and making the best of it without knowing what's going to happen next. Just delicious ambiguity. And still we really know that the only authentic thing we can say is, I don't know. And we just keep on keeping on, just as though it made perfect sense. That's faith. So let us go forward knowing that all any of us can do is the best we can do. Fear only your absolute certainty, because whatever happens, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, I don't know yet. But we have faith and doubt to help us around every curve. Maybe salvation actually does come from living in that ambiguity. And maybe only real answer to why is why not?